Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
So I'll just share briefly with us tonight on the blessedness of thanksgiving. One of my burdens is to see people do things from the standpoint of revelation. Because spiritual things can be very, very sensitive and volatile. You can be doing the right thing, but if you don't do it from the point of revelation, the power will not be there. And that is why a lot of people get so wearied while they are yet serving God. Because they are doing what they are doing from the plane of ignorance. They are putting all the efforts, they are putting all their hearts, but they are not getting the results they should get. Even if they eventually get results, it's like a fluke because they cannot repeat it. They cannot replicate it. And because they cannot replicate it, they don't have command in that aspect of life. And so although they call on the God of heaven, yet they are defeated in life as if their God is weak or what they are doing is a lie. And so revelation becomes a very integral part of our spiritual experiences. We must know what we do, how to do what we do, why we do what we do, so that we can command the results attributed to the things that we engage in as spiritual people. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 29 verse 29, it said the secret things belong to God. It said, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. And so the way God works in the plane of revelation is to deliberately make what he has made available to us a secret. For two reasons. Number one, so that the devil cannot access it. And number two, so that anyone who is walking in it will value it. He said, give not holy things to dogs. Give not holy things to swine. Because they won't value it. When they receive it, they will throw it away. They will trample it underfoot. And then they will despise it. So, for demons and devils not to corrupt what is our blessings, God deliberately makes it a secret. And for us to also value everything is given to us, to deliberately work it, to master it, he also makes it a secret. It's not a secret because it's not accessible. It is actually a secret because until God reveals it, you can't have it. And in his benevolence and generosity, he graciously makes it available to us. And so tonight, even as we share, I want you to understand that some of the things I'll be sharing tonight may not make sense to an unspiritual person. It may not make sense to a man who is not in the kingdom. But the truth is that we function by different laws and by different rules. This is why the things that profit us may not necessarily be relevant to the unbeliever. In fact, he may look at it and think we are wasting our time. However, therein lies the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 12, The Bible said, concerning the natural man, it said in verse 14, starting from verse 12, it said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. And in verse 14, it said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. He said, because they are foolishness unto him. This is why it's a secret. So a man who does not value it cannot have it. He said, they are foolishness unto him. He said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So some of the things I'll be sharing with us tonight is the reason why you find certain believers operating at a supernatural and unexplainable dimension. Because they understand these things and they engage them. They don't just know them, they know them and they engage them. And so even if the devil hates their progress, even if the devil hates their prosperity, he can't stop them. In this same scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6 to verse 8, the Bible speaking on the excellency of the mysteries of God. It says, how be it we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect. It says, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to naught. This wisdom does not amount to anything as far as God is concerned. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world for our glory. So our glorious existence is tied to the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is a secret, is a mystery that the natural man cannot know, that the princes of this world cannot know. And in verse 8, he said, which none of the princes of this world knew. He said, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So spiritual things may appear simple to you because God has made them available to you, because they have been revealed to you, but they are not simple. The natural man will try for 1,000 years. He will never understand it. It will never make sense to him. And devils and demons will never understand it. This is why when you receive truths like this, you have to engage them. You have to practice them. They are not meant to fill up your notes. They are not even meant to give you new scriptures for you to quote. They are meant for you to make a headway in life. They are meant to give you an advantage in life. Thank God in the last 2 months, in our Thanksgiving services, we didn't take any offering. I didn't even remember. To let you know that the goal of these services is not to take something from anybody. The goal of this service is to mature you in the things of the Spirit and to add another weapon to your quiver of warfare. Because in this life, you will fight many battles. But when you are dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom, all your battles become platforms for your rising. All your battles become platforms for your manifestation. Every great man you see is great because he conquers many battles. Every man who is not making impact, every weak man, every uncelebrated man is uncelebrated because he's failing in the face of battle. So all of us are fighting battles every day. But the reason one stands out is because he has the advantage to conquer. He has the advantage to win. He has the advantage to prosper. Not because they are not battles, but because he has secrets. And so tonight, one of the greatest secrets of the kingdom is what I'll be sharing with you, and I've shared a couple of times, is the secret of thanksgiving. No man who gives thanks, no man who makes thanksgiving a practice, will ever fail or be small in this life. You know, it's not everything that requires going to the mountain to pray for 40 days. As important as that act is, there are many weapons for many kinds of battles. There are certain battles that if you go with prayer, you will die. There are certain battles that if you go with human knowledge, you will die. Some battles, only praise and thanksgiving can win them. Like you see in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Gather all the singers, Let no man carry a bow or an arrow. Let the singers go ahead of us. And as they move, they should only sing. The Lord is good, and his mercies endureth forever. And as they were doing that, the Bible said in verse 22 that God set an ambushment against their enemies. The enemies began to fight themselves until they destroyed themselves. The people who were supposed to be victims only came to pack the spoils. Because not every battle requires bows and arrows. You need different weapons for different battles. So as powerful as prayer is, and as we have taught here many times, thanksgiving is another excellent weapon that a believer must master how to wield. When I look back and see some of the things the Lord has done with us in such a short period of time, I am too humbled. We are not putting effort. We are not doing any special strategy. God is just walking in the midst of his people. And as I minister tonight, if the Lord will bring them to my spirit, I'll share some of them. So that you will know that God is doing, you are in the midst of wonders. In this month alone, if we record how much expenses we have carried out for the sake of soul transformation, is scary. In this month alone, if we begin to recite the miracles that we have seen, from growth dematerializing from people's bodies, from people dropping crutches, from people's deaf ears opening, blind eyes seeing, it's overwhelming. In this month, only if we tell you the breakthroughs that we have recorded, is extraordinary in different nations of the world. Not because we are praying more than everybody, not because we know something too special. It's because these little things God has revealed, we have deliberately and consciously engaged them. Every individual hearing me tonight can be a champion and can become a phenomenon in his generation. If we only understand what I'm about to share and engage them deliberately. It's important to know that thanksgiving is not just a choice you have to make. We owe God thanks. It's a debt we must pay God. We owe God thanks. In Psalm 29 from verse 2, the Bible said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. It says, worship him in the beauty of holiness. So there is a glory, there is a thanks, there is a praise that is due to the Lord. And this praise that is due to God is not in certain things. It's actually in every aspect of our success. In every aspect of our lives. In James chapter 1 verse 17, it said, every good gift, every perfect gift, it said, it cometh from above. It cometh from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so every good thing happening in our lives today is happening because God is responsible. And so we owe him thanks. It's not something we do because we feel like it. It's not something we do because there is a special day for doing it. It's a debt we owe God. And we must pay it, and pay it as a regular aspect of our lives. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. So God is not merciful to you last year. He is merciful to you since you were born, and he will be merciful to you till eternity comes to an end. If there is any end to eternity. Forever and ever. The reason you have an advantage is because God remains perpetually merciful. This is why, even if you cannot identify anything God has done, which is impossible, you still have to thank him, because you have eternity to depend upon him. And he has stated it already, that his mercies over your life will endure forever. This is why Psalm 113 verse 3 said, from the rising of the sun, it said, unto the going down of the same, it said, the name of the Lord must be praised. The name of the Lord must be praised. It's therefore a reasonable thing to thank God. So when you find a believer who is not thankful, he is an unreasonable believer, because he has not acknowledged that God is blessing him with every good thing that is in his life. Perhaps he thinks that it's because he has a good certificate, that's why he's making progress. If you took a census of how many persons did better in that course and that certificate you are carrying about, you'll be humbled. Perhaps he thinks it's because he's smart, creative, and gifted. That's why he's enjoying the things he's enjoying. If you find out how many persons are more creative and more gifted than you, you will know that it is high level irresponsibility and is the loudest expression of being unreasonable not to be thankful to God. This is why thanksgiving must be a lifestyle. In fact, the Bible paints it clearly that God is the doer of every positive thing happening in our lives. In Mark 16 verse 20, after Jesus discipled them, after Jesus imparted them, after Jesus commissioned them, he still said the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. So it was not just the discipleship, it was not just the impartation, it was the Lord walking with them. It was the Lord confirming the word with signs and wonders following. This is why Elizabeth spoke to Mary in Luke 1:45. He said, blessed is she that believeth. He said, for there shall be a performance. So it is your job to believe. It is God's job to perform. So every performance in your life, there is an invincible finger there. Every workings of miracles, every wonder expression in your life, there is one behind the performance. In fact, in Psalm 127 from verse 1, it said, except the Lord builds a house, it said, they labor in vain that builds it. So even in the area of your life that you have not been deliberately thankful, in his mercies, he is still building. Because if he were not building, your labors would have been in vain. If he were not working, your labor would have been in vain. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, it would have died. He said, the reason he did not die is because God gave the increase. Listen, brothers and sisters, in every aspect of our lives, every dimension and every workings that we see in our life is a signature of the invincible finger of God. No smartness, no intelligence can bring you to where you are. No human capacity would have been sufficient to bring you to where you are. Everything you are seeing today, God is behind it. Every good thing you see today, God is behind it. And so it's a good thing to thank the Lord. We owe him thanksgiving. We owe him adoration. We owe him honor. We owe him continuous exhortation. Because that is all we can give him, to be honest. He is God. He doesn't need anything we have. The name God means self-existent one, needing nobody or nothing to be God. As a matter of fact, he was before anything was created. And so he was sufficient in himself before anything was. And if everything were to vanish today, he will still be self-sufficient. So all of us who are here, we are here because he chose to give us an experience. We are here because he chose to bless us. We are here because he chose to allow us participate in an economy that predates our existence. This is why whatever we find here, be it good or bad, we thank him for it. In thanking him, the good will increase, and in thanking him, the bad will disappear. Because you don't thank God to be happy. You are happy because you are thanking God. You don't thank God to be free. You are thanking God. That's why you are free. If you are not thanking God, you will suffer. If you are not thanking God, you will be defeated. So it's important to make thanksgiving
a lifestyle.
And tonight, very quickly, I show you few powers that are held within the confines of this spiritual reality called Thanksgiving. And in it, you will see the blessedness of Thanksgiving. Follow me, brothers and sisters. Six things that makes Thanksgiving of overwhelming blessing in the life of the believer. Now, I'm teaching this way to let you know that there are different dimensions to this reality. There are dimensions that are born out of height in the spirit. When you are ascended, you come back with energy. You come back with moves of the spirit. And so when you are operating from height, the intensity will reveal where you are coming from. There are other dimensions that are tied to secrets. There are some dimensions that are tied to impartations. There are other dimensions that are tied to covenants and principles. As a strong Christian, you need to master it. You know, some of you are only used to dimensions that have to do with heights. So when it's not boiling, you don't think it's powerful. You'll be defeated. I deliberately began to train myself to learn a lot of things. There are many times when I go out, either to minister or I'm facing a challenge, and I draw from the impartations I have received. I'm not sensing any anointing. I'm not feeling anything. But I know that the hands that were laid on me was not ritual. And I draw from the powers of those impartations and I shift things in my life. There are many times when I'm confronted with issues, I draw from my consecration. I draw from my principles. I draw from the covenants that I practice. I say I'm a covenant practitioner. This kind of thing cannot happen. And I'm not sensing any fire. I'm not sensing any anointing. But the most unexpected manifestation can take place. There are other things I confront in life, and I just draw from a scripture, from a revelation. And I use that scripture. I'm not sensing anything. And things change. Because all of these things are capsules of power. And there are times when I'm confronted with things and I ascend. I go up to my throne in the spirit. And when I come down, I am burning like fire. Even the devil knows that if you approach this one, there will be casualties in hell. And from the flame that I command, a lot of things. You know, every time you are on fire, you remind the devil of the messianic judgment. Because when God judged him, he said, fire will come out of your bowels and consume you. So anybody who comes with fire, the devil fears him. That's why he said he maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers flames of fire. So when you see a Christian on fire coming, he is judgment to the demonic realm. So there are things that we handle by flames. But I'm taking it like this so you will see the excellency of what I'm about to teach you. And then if you begin to practice these things, when you confront a situation and a revelation is not coming, you can draw from impartation. When you confront a situation, a revelation is not coming, you can draw from your covenants. You can draw from your consecration. And you can be every day making impact. People will not understand why. That's the mystery of the spirit life. That's the secret of the spirit life. There are times when I go to minister in certain places. I'm physically exhausted. Imagine the journey we went for. We just returned from in the UK. When I went to minister in our conference, God told me his focus was transformation. So I didn't bother to pray for the sick. I just came and taught a transformation message. And when I was done, I called Apostle Paul to come and minister to the sick. He ministered, we took some testimonies and left. When I left that meeting, I was drained. The next day, we came to Scotland. And the whole ministration was miracles. From prophetic ministration to healings to miracles. After I was done teaching, I just stood. I was pointing. And God was dealing with cases. That was the first place somebody dropped a crutch and started walking. I returned back to London the next day. After I was done teaching, whole ministration was miracles. Another lady who had an accident and broke her bone dropped her crutch and started walking. And that was how God kept doing miracles and wonders. When I was exhausted, what do you think I was saying when I was on the altar? You think we were just hoping that things will happen? Some of those meetings I entered, I was waiting for fire. I didn't see any fire. I shook myself like Samson. No fire was coming. When I saw that fire was not coming, I told God. I started reminding God of some of the journeys we had in the spirit. I started reminding God some of the words he told me. Those ones you don't preach them. It's your heart talking to God. It's spirit to spirit. And when you are talking like that, he stretches his hands. And things begin to happen. So you can see a man tired yet powerful. He's standing on something. This is why you need to learn all of the dimensions of God. Don't be an emotional Christian. Learn the mysteries of supernatural living. Practice them. Your life will become a wonder. What does thanksgiving do for you? Number one, thanksgiving provokes increase. Every time I teach this subject, I must teach this. Especially that we are in Africa. We need increase every day. See, the system here is designed to choke you. The system is designed to deplete you. The system is designed to suck everything out of you. Imagine this administration we just entered. They've not done anything to improve the welfare of people. But every area of taxation has increased and has become more rigid. Even the airport that we're paying 300 naira to enter. Now if you are entering the airport, it's 500. The question is, what has happened to the income of people that taxation is increasing? So the system is designed to suck you. Before, we park cars for free in the airport. Now, as you are entering, anything from 15 minutes parking, you pay 500 to 1,000 depending on how you have parked. Your salary has not increased. Your income has not increased. But taxation and all the channels of sucking money out of you is increasing. So you have to learn supernatural ways of engendering increase. So that if the debts are increasing, if the taxation is increasing, it will not affect you. Because before, what takes money out of you, what takes resources out of you increases, you would have doubled many times. So when those things happen, you won't feel it. Not because they are not happening, but because they are increasing. And so one of the blessedness of thanksgiving is that there's a mystery in thanksgiving that triggers increase and multiplication. In Jeremiah 33 verse 22, hear what the Bible said. It said, the Lord of hosts now speaking. It said, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured. It says, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that ministered unto me. So there is a system in God to multiply a man to a point that that man cannot be numbered. But what are those systems that provokes those increases? Jeremiah 30 verse 19. You will see what the Bible says. You will see one of the systems. So multiplication is not luck and chance. It's a deliberate thing that you can provoke. It says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. It said, I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them. They shall not be small. Why am I multiplying them? Out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving. So as thanksgiving goes up, multiplication is happening downstairs. So when you find a Christian who is not multiplying, check. He is lacking greatly in thanksgiving. It's not only your effort that will multiply you. There are many spiritual mysteries designed for your increase. You have to learn to take advantage of all of these things. Because if you don't, although God would have said it, it will not happen in your life. It will happen in the life of the one who is engaging it. Because your actions validate your faith. It's a faith without works is dead. So you cannot say you believe that God will multiply you if you are not doing what God says to do to trigger multiplication. So it's on one side to receive the promise. It's on another side to engage in faith for the promise to become flesh in your life. So there are many promises in the spirit that Christians have not yet internalized. Only few have been able to trap the promises of the spirit realm. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 11, he said, "The Lord your God, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times more many than you are." Your God has declared that he will make you. Imagine where you are if you were made 1,000 times more. Imagine if your resources were made 1,000 times more. Imagine that as we are here, we are made 1,000 times more. How much program can the government create that will make you think there is poverty? How much program can the devil create that will make you feel all that he's doing? There are some people that are so multiplied that whatever the devil is doing, they are not feeling it. There are some people that are so increased that no matter the system is what the system is doing, they are not feeling it. You and I are serving the same God as those people. What is the difference? The difference is that they know something they are doing that we are not doing. Bishop David Oyedepo said something hilariously while he was talking. He said he was driving Dr. Mike Mudock from one part of the camp to another. And when they got to their destination, Mike Mudock looked at him and said, that in this 25 minutes drive, you have said thank you Jesus 72 times. What's going on? He said, well, that's my life. You have said thank you Jesus. The man was counting because he was shocked. Thank you Jesus. Thank you Father. Thank you Jesus. Oh, thank you Jesus. Oh, thank you. It's not everything that is shakabarakada. See, sometimes poor gratitude. Thank you Father. You wake up from your bed. Oh, thank you Father. I saw today. Thank you Lord because I'm taking over today. Thank you Jesus because I woke up. Then the devil is in trouble. Thank you Jesus because as I woke up, I'm stepping into my blessings. Thank you Jesus because as you are thanking him, many doors are opening. Many tributaries are opening. And people will look at you and say, what is going on? I'm thanking God. This is one of the spiritual ways of opening many streams of blessings to your life. It makes you 1,000 times greater. It multiplies you to a level where you cannot be numbered. It makes you great so that you are not small. And people are looking at you and say, what is going on? You are engaging a mystery. Number two, what is the blessedness of thanksgiving? It engenders deliverance. In Psalm 3 verse 3, the psalmist said, many are they that are rising up against me. And they said, there is no hope for me. See, if you know the number of people waiting for you, either not to rise or to fall from the little you have seen, you will be shocked. You will not know that many are concerned about you. You are the one who thinks, I'm living my small life and nobody cares. You are joking. The thousands that are keeping malice, the thousands that are gossiping, if you know, the guy was talking in Psalm 91. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side. He said, 10,000 by your right hand. Is it only one man? That 11,000 people. So, if God was not doing something, that means at every instance, he would have had 11,000 opposition. And that's not all. Those are the people-oriented opposition. Before then, he said, there are arrows that fly by day, and there are deadly pestilence that attack in the night. So whether night or day, there are spiritual adversaries and there are other adversaries in the form of men. So when you walk through the day and you come back, don't say you don't have enemies. Say God brought me safely. Because if it were left for the devil, you would have fallen at the mall. Let the whole world see that you collapsed and died. And then they will say the stories they want to hear. If it is left for the world, there should be a news that you just had an accident and you are battling with life. But thanks be to God. He said, for thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. For thou, O Lord, for thou. See, sometimes it's not even your enemies. Sometimes it's the foolishness of men.
Foolish men, foolish. There are many foolish men you are walking with every day. This road you drove to this church, more than 20 people were drunk driving. More than 20, they were drunk driving on the same road. The reason they didn't bump into you was because a hand held them. Keep your foolishness with you. Don't come close to this man. On that road, they are not your enemies. They are just foolish people sharing the same word with you. The other day, I was flying to Owerri. My spirit was down. I knew I shouldn't go for that meeting. But I had given my word. I drank. I told my wife, Kai, this meeting is like I'm not supposed to go. She said, the people are waiting for you. Just go and bless them. I thought you would say, really? Okay. I looked for excuse. I didn't have anyone. I had no choice. I gathered myself. I entered. When we boarded the plane, and as things will happen that day, I was alone. There was nobody I would join hands with to pray. We entered the flight. The flight took off. The cloud was so dark. But this pilot say he has experience. Meanwhile, when demons are involved, your experience is nothing. Or God, keep your experience in the pocket. The man say he has experience. I don't know why they authorized him to take off. This guy took off. It was not up to 4 minutes. We entered a wind that was twisting like this, a Euroclidon. Plane began to descend. Both apostle and those who are not apostle, all of us grabbed things. The plane was falling. We could see the plane falling. I looked outside. What? I thought I would stand up like Jesus and say, peace be still. When I discovered, I held iron. Hey! That was the time apostle was supposed to stand up and say, peace be still. When things settled, I saw myself. Everybody was holding something. When I looked up, people were speaking in tongues. I tell them, my sister, relax. So just thank God. Leave those things. Just thank God. Just thank God. Sometimes people die, not because of enemies, but because of foolishness. That's why you cannot afford not to shield yourself on the right and on the left, in the front and in the back. You must be fully protected, because there are many madmen whom foolishness can kill another. The reason you will not die because of the foolishness of somebody is because there will be an invincible finger, because there will be a shield around you, because there will be a power that although it can kill 1,000, not you. It says 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. It shall not come near you. With your eyes you shall see and behold the recompense of the wicked. But the key is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving engenders deliverance. Whether they are your enemies, whether it's the mistake of men, it doesn't matter. You are exonerated. I quoted already from 2 Chronicles 20:22. Please sit down. Today is not a revival. We will dance. Ah!
Oh Lord, how she taught me my glory and the lifter up of my head. For thou, O Lord,
oh, thou, O Lord, how to shield for me my glory and the leaves are off of my head.
For thou, O Lord,
speak with audacity, because we know our God is faithful, and this faithful God showed us some secrets. 2 Chronicles 20:20-22. It said, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Next verse, And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, his mercies endureth forever. And in verse 22, he said, and when they began to sing, somebody say, when they began to sing. When we are singing, we are not just exciting ourselves. It's an activator of angelic operation. He said, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set. That means God was waiting. What will activate the trap was their praise. He said, the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Three nations went down in one day because when they began to sing. So singing is not for choir. Sometimes when choir is singing, some people are doing like this. You are joking. You are doing like this. When they are singing, when people are praising God, you see some people acting like senior prophets, senior apostles. You are in trouble. When they began to sing, if you don't begin your own singing, your own trap will remain there, inactive. God said all of us will be protected, but it's those who began to sing that activated their own trap. Thanksgiving engenders deliverance. Acts 16, verse 25. After Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison, hopeless, the Bible said, and at midnight, it said, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they were not mourning it. They were not chewing it. They were singing it out. The prisoners heard them, and see what happened. He said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. There are certain suddenlies that will never happen until you begin to praise. So I tell you, most angelic activities happen where there is praise. That's why you cannot keep quiet. That's why you cannot shut up. That's why you must sing and you must dance. There was an earthquake. The foundation of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors opened. Somebody say liberty. That's why I say thanksgiving engenders deliverance, and everyone's band fell off. So there is a technology for breaking chains, and there's a technology for opening doors with thanksgiving. There are many doors that no connection can open. Just go indoors, praise, sing, and dance, and see what happens. You will marvel at the supernatural dimension of angelic intervention. Number three, what makes thanksgiving such a blessing? It creates an atmosphere for the miraculous. John 11, 40 to 43. Jesus showed up. Lazarus had died. Everybody was gloomy. You don't raise the dead in a gloomy environment. You don't see miracles in a gloomy environment. Jesus knew that the atmosphere had to change first. And so when they were lamenting and complaining, he had to silence them first. You are choking the environment the more. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Go to the next verse. Then, after he had commanded, of course, they took away the stone from the place where it was and where the dead was laid. And he said, Jesus lifted up his eyes before giving any command and said, I thank thee, O Father, that you always hear me. If you want to see miracles, make sure your environment is choked with thanksgiving. I thank thee, O Father, that you always hear me. The moment he did that, he knew the miraculous is a must. And he turned to them. Verse 43. And when he has thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. He knows the power of thanksgiving. Audacity is there now. He didn't go and say, Father, if you are willing, let Lazarus wake up. No. After he has thanked God, he knew there will be power. See, most of our crusade, why do you think we spend time to praise God? When you are done praise, you say, eyes open. After thanking God, the next thing is command. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he that was dead came back to life.
There are many things in your life that require miracle for a turnaround. You are not seeing them because you are complaining and you are murmuring. That's why even your prayers are not working. If you give thanks, the least prayer you pray will be powerful. But if you murmur and complain, even your vigils will only weary you. That's why those who know how spiritual things work, they are always full of praise. Because when you give thanks, you create an atmosphere for the miraculous. You see this same thing happen in John 6 from verse 1 to verse 12. But particularly in verse 11 and 12, after Jesus preached to 3,000 people, 5,000 people, not counting women and children, no food anywhere. In fact, when he told his disciples, give them something to eat, they were wondering, Master, we know you are wise, but this is impossible. Even if you brought a bakery to the wilderness, you can't feed them. Please don't say that. Let these people not hear and have hope. If you give them hope, it will be dangerous. Even a year's wages can't give these people enough bite. Leave them. Let's think of how they will go home. Jesus said if they are going home, they will faint on the road. They said, but you can't do nothing. He said, what do you have? They said, don't even ask that question. The only thing available here is a young boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. If you take that loaf, that boy will die. And Jesus said, bring it. I know the person he told bring it will look at him and say, bring what? Should we rob this small boy of his food? Lord, you are a merciful God. Why are you acting like this today? He said, bring it. When we are done, the boy will have enough. Bring it. And when they brought it, same formula. Thank you, Father. Take, give them. If you were the one who collected it, what will you say? Give who? Start from where? There are 5,000 men here. Who do I start with? Maybe I should start with the boy so that he will get his food back. But the Bible said, as they were breaking it, the breads were multiplying. As they were breaking it, there was no fasting, there was no vigil, there was no mountain climbing. They had done all of that. There was no miracle. But the moment thanksgiving went up, even breads knew how to multiply. See, if you want to live a victorious life, if you want to live a supernatural life, as much as it's within your powers, make thanksgiving a lifestyle. It's not this one we sing in church only. Can I shock you? Many choir people don't give thanks. You see them singing in church. I have a living God. It's professionalism. Most of them, all through the week, you will never hear them thank God. They are singing because they have the gift of singing. I'm telling you. Because if most of them were to be thanking God, their life would not be what we are seeing. You will be shocked that some of us who are not singing are thanking God more than them. Because the proof of thanksgiving is not a good song. It's multiplication. It's deliverance. It's miracles. How many of them have miracles in their life? Somebody shout! So when you leave this service, start thanking God. Because if you are a worshiper, we will not know by your voice. We will see it by the supernatural. Your life will be full of miracles, signs, and wonders. But when you come to church and you are looking for miracles, you are still looking for the pastors that don't have good voices. We who don't have the voice, we are the ones producing. Meanwhile, they are supposed to be a warehouse of miracles. Because their atmosphere should be pregnant with miracles. So they sing as part of church service. They don't sing as a lifestyle. That's a strong jab on my choir. Go and thank God. Hallelujah. Number 4. Thanksgiving provokes encounters. Psalm 100 verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. So when a man begins to thank God, something happens. It provokes the portals of the supernatural. So when you find many people who have encounters and they are telling you about stories of encounter, it's because of something happening in their soul. They are full of thanksgiving. It brings you into his courts. It says he ushers you into his courts. It ushers you into his gates. So encounters are not supposed to be scarce with us if our life is full of thanksgiving. In 1 Kings chapter 3, from verse 4, we saw what happened. The Bible said Solomon went to Gibeon and offered 1,000 burnt offering. The Bible said that night, that same night, he said God appeared to him in a dream and told him, what do you want? Not 1 week later, that night, because God is looking for grateful people so that they can give them more. And so when a man is not thankful, he will see that there will be barrenness and scarcity of spiritual dimension around his life. That same night, God appeared and said, what do you want? Thanksgiving. It provokes encounters. You want to have visitations? You want to have open heavens? Make your life an endless stream of thanksgiving. And finally, number 5, thanksgiving establishes you. Luke 17. We saw that in verse 17, Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one came back. And Jesus asked the question. He said, where are the 9? That means God expects it from us. Where are the 9? Is it only you that came back? And Jesus said to him, be made whole. So the one who is made whole, the one who is established, is the one who knows how to give thanks. This is why many people have mercy drops in their lives. In 1 year, they have one breakthrough. And the next time they have another breakthrough is 3 years later. Because they cannot be established in that realm since there was no gratitude. They were trusting God until they had a business breakthrough and made 100 million. Even to give God 10%, you will have to teach, do a doctrine. You will argue on the subject from Genesis to Revelation. Because now suddenly 10 million has become too big. Meanwhile, they had nothing. And God looks at them and shakes his head. Is that so? No problem. The next time their faith is able to access something like that, will take another 5 years. But there is another wise man. The moment God gives him, he takes a chunk and says, Lord, this is for you. He's not just talking tight. He wants to show God that he's grateful. And because God sees that, God now tells him, you will never go below 100 million again. That's what it means to be established. That when you come to a level and you show gratitude, you remain there. You go for a crusade. Somebody came with crutches. He dropped it. You came back home. You knelt down. You say, Abba, Father, thank you because it was your hand that wrought that miracle. And God sees it. And say, from today, you remain in that level. Everywhere there are crutches, they will drop. And men will walk. You see cancer go down. Sometimes, even in that meeting, you kneel down and you give God thanks. He looks at you and says, now you are qualified to operate in the cancer-dissolving realm. And so, you will go for a meeting. You are not feeling any special anointing. But you say, every growth dematerialized. People come out and say, I had a growth on my breast. It has gone. And then you are wondering, but I wasn't feeling the anointing. You have been established in that realm. That's how it works. Any realm you want to be established in, the moment that realm opens, enter with thanksgiving and stay there with thanksgiving. And you will see that the Christian life is not supposed to be up and down. It's up and forward. He said the path of the just man is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But see the problem with believers. They are happy when they receive something and they forget to give thanks. And so they go up, they come down. They remain down for a long time. They go up again and come down. But the people who remain in cruise mode, check their lives. Man, tareke stafaka. Thank you, Abba Father, for the wonderful things you are doing. Thank you, glorious God. Thank you. As they are praising God, they stay there. Even when they want to descend, God himself will support them. Remain here. There are few people who are thanking for this, so stay here. He said, in all things, give thanks. In all things. Because thanksgiving will establish you in all things. How do you give thanks? Having stated 5 things that thanksgiving does. How do you give thanks? Because many don't even know how to give thanks. Number 1. You give thanks with a heart of gratitude. Because thanksgiving is not just what's on your lips. It's first of all your heart posture. A heart of gratitude. Because God judges the heart before he accepts the action. In Psalm 116 verse 12. It says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? The psalmist had not done anything. But his heart is too grateful.
He considered life. He considered the blessing. He considered the throne. He considers preservation. And he's asking himself, what is it that I can even give God in the first place? Because seeing what God is doing in his life, he feels even if he gave himself is not enough. And God records it. Because that heart becomes an incense to heaven. But see us today. Somebody brings 10,000 and is, I've tried more than every other person. It's not easy to give 10,000. In fact, if you don't appreciate him that he gave 10,000, he's offended. Do you see how much I gave? Pastor, I don't think you check who. You should be trying to check your alerts because you should have known some of our names by now. The last time I gave 100,000, did you notice that? And God is looking at him. So you think what I've done for you. And I'm not saying we should not be responsible or grateful. That's not the point. But I'm telling you that some people think they are outgiving God. So the little they even gave, they felt God himself should tell them, ah, Odogu, hey, you have tried, oh. How are you doing this? It's a heart first. What shall I render to the Lord? Seeing all his benefits. In Psalm 103, verse 2, it said, Bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, forget not his benefits. See, these things don't just happen. No, you train yourself. You train yourself. That's why the psalmist said, test and see that the Lord is good. So there are times when you need to sit down and check everything God has done for you so that you will remember. It is in remembrance that you train your soul to be grateful. Because if you don't remember, even when you are saying thank you, your heart will not be there. That's why some people, they ask God for 3 hours, but they say thank you for 5 seconds. Because they have not even, it has not dawned on them the gravity of what God has done. See, sometimes sit down and rewind your life back 10 years ago. See where you were. Rewind back 5 years ago. Remember how hopeless you were just 5 years ago. Remember how 5 years ago, even to eat was a challenge. Remember how 5 years ago, if somebody promises you 10,000, you will not be able to sleep because it's a breakthrough. If you go back and remember, you will now become aware where you are. It will help your heart to be grateful. Because most times, we forget to remember. So we are full of ingratitude. And so even when church insists that we should thank God, we come to do it religiously. That's why many don't prepare for it. Because they've not taken time. I sat down today to take stock before coming here. I was humbled. Tears came out of my eyes. The kind of things we are doing from the place of rest. The resources going in. The millions that have been transformed. I looked at myself. I said, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, who knows that you are existing? Today is a challenge. Sometimes I quarrel my protocol. Why are you accepting all these meetings? Because if not because I reject them, every week I should have at least 4 meetings from all around the world. What have you put on me that the world is putting so much demand? What am I saying? What am I doing? Every day somebody wants you somewhere. And I'm not just talking a small fellowship. Fathers of faith are calling you. Come and be a blessing. And you are wondering, people you are hoping to take seed to lay hands on you, they are calling you to come and be a blessing. And the cycle continues. I checked my life from August. I flew to England on the 2nd of August. On the 3rd, on the 4th and 5th, we did our invasion. On the 6th, I went to Leicester, ministered. And the same day, I flew to Edinburgh. On the 7th, I ministered in Edinburgh. On the 8th, I returned to London, ministered again. On the 9th, I flew to Glasgow, ministered in Glasgow, 9th and 10th. On the 11th, we went to Aberdeen. I ministered 12th, 13th. On the 14th, after that Sunday service, I told my wife, gather your things, we are going to Nigeria. I had to call them to reschedule my flight. I came back here. On the 15th, I was here for Bible study. 16th, I was on my way to Makurdi, did my PhD external defense. On the 17th, I returned back. That same 17th, I flew straight to Akwa Ibom. Ministered 17th in the evening. Ministered 18th in the morning. Flew to Abuja. That same 18th, I ministered in Four Square Gospel Church. On the 19th in the morning, I ministered. 20th, I was back here. And the cycle continued. What do you carry? Nothing. It's mercy. All of these meetings, the hand of God was strong. Miracles, signs, and wonders. That's one side. The meeting we ran in London, only logistics for meeting and transport alone, we spent more than 100,000 pounds. We didn't call anybody, come and help. Please, if God is laying it in your hand, in your heart, he has sent us to the nation, not one soul, from the place of rest. In fact, because it was our first attempt, we didn't stress ourselves to do so much publicity. Before we came for meeting, they sent me a video. There was a queue. I said, where are they coming from? What did they see? No much publicity. Just put on our platform. We are coming to London. Even the guest ministers are invited, who are music ministers and people on ground. It was a day to the meeting. I put it on flyer. Because I didn't want a situation where we have what we couldn't manage based on the vision I saw. And the crowd came. People were transformed. Monies were spent from the place of rest. Did we take an offering here for the UK invasion? No. Over 100,000 pounds. As I'm talking to you now, they have a venue being set up in London, another venue being set up in Manchester. People are already volunteering. What can we do? And we are already thinking of going to Cameroon. And you are just doing everything from the place of rest. Effortlessly. This is what some people are in ministry for 20 years. They've not achieved. 20 years. There's nowhere you enter that somebody won't run to you and say, thank you, sir. Your message have transformed me. Thank you, sir. When I heard your message, I started praying. When I heard your message, masturbation died. What are we doing? Sometimes I sit down and look at myself. I say, Lord, what are we doing? And I remind myself that it's mercy. It's mercy. Many things happening at the same time. If I share the testimony happening with my wife, you will start screaming. For security reasons, I won't. Doing nothing special. But God is behind the scene working. I was telling myself, if we now settle down to do this ministry, what will it look like? Yesterday, they went to feed some people in some village. How many families were fed? 295 families. I'm not aware. They only gave me the report that 72 souls were won. I didn't know where the money came from. People are eager. What are you doing? We want to be part of it. What are you doing? The hand of God. Because you are just giving thanks. It begins from the heart. Gratitude. Gratitude. Anything God does. Oh, Father. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Never come to a point where you say, ah, yeah. With these things, we know. You are in trouble. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It begins with the heart of gratitude. Number two, the second way to give thanks is by utterances of praise. Utterances. Utterances of praise. Hebrews 13 verse 15. He said, but by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. He said, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruits of our lips. Don't let the majority of what comes out of your mouth to be complaining. Don't let the majority of what comes out of your mouth to be hopelessness. He said, in all things, give thanks. No matter how hard the situation is, if you don't know the prayer to pray, one prayer you will never be wrong in is thank you, Father. He said, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. He said, in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It is the fruit of your lips. God expects you to sing it to him day and night. So when you see men who live a life of wonder, they are talking something. And majority of what they are saying is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Psalm 105, verse 1 and 2, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Say it. Let people hear. God has blessed me with good health. God has blessed me with good wife. God has blessed me with a ministry. You say it. Don't just keep quiet and nod your head and say, we like this. If we start giving thanks, the day we will give thanks. You are joking. Say it. My people know, these many journeys we embark on, you will never catch me that, hey, apostle broke down. Break where? If I break down, it will cost a lot. Because sometimes, some of this, in some weeks, you have 3 meetings. All of this meeting, people are waiting in thousands with excitement and enthusiasm. They have spent more than 10 million for that meeting. And then you now call and say, apostle is in the hospital. How will it sound? Do you know how many sick people are hoping to come for the meeting to be healed? Then they now say, Kai, apostle is strong. An apostle is strong means apostle is down. I'm not saying those who fall sick, they are doing anything wrong. But I'm saying, in my own case, God has been merciful. I finish with one, the next day I rise up like a soldier. And I'm entering the other one. And I come there with intensity, with fervency, with freshness. And the move of the Spirit is constant. So most of them who work with me, sometimes every 1 month they go down. And I'm not telling them, you don't meditate on the word of God. I'm the one preaching. I'm the one paying the bills. I'm the one under the burden to minister. I'm the one under the pressure to deliver. How come you are the one falling sick? You travel 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you come back. Somebody say, there's cold. I say, now I understand. They are not thanking God. Breaking down. I say, what if you start preaching? I'm the one paying these bills. Do you know the pressure money brings? I'm surviving financial pressure. I'm surviving ministry pressure. I'm strong. You who is following, only snapping picture. Is it the picture you are snapping that is making you break down? Meanwhile, apart from this journey, we are also doing Zoom meetings. Sometimes, as we leave the meeting, 1 a.m., I'm preaching to people in the U.S. on Zoom, talking to them, and the next day, I have a meeting by 10. And then you come for the meeting, then they on AC. You see somebody on laptop doing like this. What is wrong? They say, hey, I'm strong. I say, what do you mean by I am strong? Define I am strong. Oh, yeah, off the AC. Tomorrow, go and rest. But these are the secrets. God will keep you strong. But your mouth must be full of thanks. Thank you, Father. See, if you want to learn this, go and write every aspect of your life that you think you are blessed. And start thanking God for it. A point will come, it will become natural to you. Thank you for family. Thank you for peace. Thank you for prosperity. Thank you for health. Thank you for open doors. Thank you for acceptance in my generation. Thank you. Just keep thanking. You will never outdo God. So your thanksgiving can never be too much. Number 3, how do you thank God? You thank God by committing your life to service in the house of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, it said the love of Christ constraineth us. It said, for we thus judge that if one died for all, they which live should no longer live for themselves, but to live for him that gave his life for them. So if you find people who are not disposed to serving God or serving his purpose, it is a way of showing ingratitude in the kingdom. Tell them, let's go out for soul winning. They are tired or they are busy. Okay, come, let's pray. They are tired or they are busy. Serve. No, they can't. What do you mean? You are so busy. If ordinary malaria come, will you be that busy? Can malaria stop you? Why won't you stop to serve God? When you find a grateful soul, one of the ways he shows it is in service. He's looking for what to do. The moment Paul was converted, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? Because he knows the way of the champions in the way of service. Lord, what will you have me do? Every time you have the opportunity, do something. Apart from the fact that it triggers reward in eternity, it shows that you are grateful. You are grateful. Never be too busy. Never be too big to serve God's purpose. At least the ones that he leads you to. Make sure you are involved.
Number four, how do you thank God? You thank God with gifts and offerings. You thank God with gifts and offerings. Now, this is sensitive. Sometimes when you start talking about material things, people who don't know the ways of God rise up and begin to attack. Because they feel, since there are some persons who have bastardized these things, everybody is out to merchandise or to take advantage of people. But this is scripture. We can't remove it. Why this thing begins with gratitude, proceeds to words, and then proceeds to service, it must impart on your resources. Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. So you cannot claim or tell God that your heart is with him and that you are grateful, and it doesn't reflect with your resources. In fact, one of the most potent ways of showing gratitude and thanksgiving is through resources. And these resources are not just things you carelessly pull out of here and there and throw. No. Everything you do for God is a measure of your gratitude. It's a measure of your worship. It's a measure of your honor to his name. That is why when you have to thank God, you have to be deliberate about it. I package my thanksgiving offering deliberately. Sometimes I do transfers, because if I put it here, it will create unnecessary attention. So I just transfer. If I tell you every thanksgiving service, I put my own here, you'll be shocked. The percentage of the whole thanksgiving that mine alone commands. And this has been a lifelong practice. See, things happen in my life faster than I prepare for. Things, blessings have overtaken me many years ago. I tried to reorganize my life to accommodate the blessings. The blessings have overtaken me. And it's because of some of these mysteries. There are certain things you can't say. It will be misinterpreted. Either as pride or it will be lack of wisdom for security reasons. That's why we don't say some things. But my life is overtaken by blessings. You have to deliberately create modesty and moderation so that you don't show off because of the many things God is doing. From access to resources to spiritual benefits, you can't number them. It's just too much. For our level of experience, for our level of service, and for the time we have spent in this thing, God has done too much. The places where we are standing is places where those who are our fathers are standing. That's where we are standing. Both in grace, in resources, in our access, in exposure, it's overwhelming. But it's the mercy of God. I can't tell you places I go to. You can't even come there and say you are a preacher. That they say come with honor and gratitude. And then even in the kingdom corridor, there are places you go to where those who should be your grandfather in ministry can't gain access. You come, they say, welcome, sir. We are honored to have you. We are honored to have you because of God. Not to talk of resources. Resources. In fact, now it's my wife that handles our resources. Because we need superior wisdom. And me, my faith has made me reckless. So in order for us to have investment, I had to allow her handle it. Because if I have it now, a bag of money can finish now and I don't think about tomorrow. Before I get into tomorrow, God has taken care of tomorrow. In order not to violate the principle of investment and savings, I have to allow her take charge. Because she's wiser than me in that area. Take charge of it, because if you leave this man, this man takes no thought of tomorrow. Because tomorrow is handled. And many times before tomorrow comes, I have for next year. The level of speed with which God is moving. All of that rooted in thanksgiving. That's why when we give recklessly. Look at what the Bible said. Psalm 96 verse 8. It said, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. It said, bring an offering and come into his courts. Don't come only with singing. Enter the courts with praise. Also bring an offering. That's what the Bible says. Bring an offering into his courts And this offering is not something you carelessly pick. No, you don't pick it from here and there. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, it says, every man according as he has proposed in his heart. So it is an offering that you prepare for. When you thought of what God has done, you put your best together and present your best to him. That's how you give thanks. It's not when they say thanksgiving, you check your purse. You say, what do I have here? Oh, Father, thank you, Father. No, that's not how you give thanks. That offering is something you propose in your heart. And you present it as a symbol of gratitude. And then finally, how do you give thanks? You give thanks by singing and by dancing. Some people are so unthankful that even to dance, they can't dance. Meanwhile, this is a God that kings danced before and were naked. And when I say dance and dance like that, I'm not saying bring your club steps. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying become full of flesh. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying dance from the place of gratitude, honor, thanksgiving, and praise. Not to copy what one musician was doing. Not to give expression to your fleshliness. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying thank God with singing and with dancing. Psalm 69 verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 100 verse 1 to 3. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In Psalm 105 verse 1 and 2. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous work. So everybody who wants to genuinely thank God must sing to him and must dance. When the ark of God was being brought into the city of David, the Bible said every 6 meters that they moved the ark, David offered a sacrifice. Do you know the distance they covered? I didn't know I would say this. I would have searched the scripture to do the conversion. From the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David, every, I think 6 meters. Somebody should verify that. Every 6 meters they covered, David will stop and slaughter a bull. So before they got into the city of David, perhaps they have slaughtered 100 bulls. You, when you see all these men so great and their names are immortalized, you think it's because God favored them? Those guys were reckless in their walk with God. How can you even think of it? That this ark of God has been brought back. And so every 6 meters, slaughter a cow. Slaughter a cow. So they move 6 meters, they stop. They slaughter a cow and thank God. They move another 6 meters, they slaughter a cow. They move another 6 meters. And when they entered into the city, the Bible said David danced until his garment fell off and he was naked. And David never took thought to say, oh, I am king. I need to package myself. There's a way kings dance. See how kings dance in our era. Kings, when kings are dancing, they use their shoulders. They don't smile much. That's royal dance. Royal dance. It's the poor people that are, oh, father. So, when you come to church, the elites and the royals, they are dancing with shoulder. When they want to dance more, they do like this. Then they spread their garment. Then they put their garment. Even like this is dancing, you know, it's royal dance. The day cancer will come, you will stop doing like this. You will kneel down and praise the Lord with a song. Worship him with a dance. Celebrate him in the beauty of holiness. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Yeah.
Yala kata kata. Mambra kata sosa. Atatia. Shite. Listen. The things I've shown you, they are not for your notes. So increase is a possibility. You are hearing me now. Your health is struggling. God can multiply your health. You are hearing me now. Your finances are struggling. God can multiply your finances. It's a reality. This is not for your notes. You are hearing me now. You are in debt. You are locked up, shielded on every side. The devil has literally submerged you. There is a way out. And it's not just one way. It can be a thousand ways. He said, though the enemy may come in, he said, like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up. There can be a thousand ways out of that, your crisis. You are hearing me now. As you are standing here, there can be unprecedented lifting for you. And it's not something you hope for. It's something you can engender deliberately. And one of the ways of engendering those possibilities is by thanksgiving.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations. You are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.